Okay, so we're going to talk about a little bit about the Esrog. So the first thing that you want to know when you're looking for an Esrog is, I think we spoke, some of the things we missed last year, but I don't know. But the first thing you want to know about when you're looking to see if it's, to get an Esrog is you want to make sure it's an Esrog. So there's
it's not a
big,
hybrid.
Yeah, a Morkov, which means it was grafted or was hybrid, like you said, some other min is mixed in there, is a big suffix. I mean, it's possible. So there's always a big problem with you know, the other minim is not a fruit, so it's not, it doesn't matter as much. But by an esrog, the derech is very often to be markiv them, and, you know, so you have to find a clean line that it's really an esrog. So that's why all these different types of esrogim people are into is more miyuchas esrogim. Okay, so we'll explain a little bit about that. Okay, there are simanim on an esrog versus a lemon. There are simanim. Mishabura brings down three simanim. One is that it has bumps, and a lemon is generally smooth. One is that the ukits, it would have been nice to have the esrogim, he's not here yet, the ukits goes in. And by lemon, the ukits is on the exterior. The end of the esrog goes, the lemon goes out, and the ukits kind of sticks out from it. It doesn't go in. And the third one is, is if you cut it open inside and you see that there's a lot of white.
It's not so much fruit. It's more.
Right. There's a lot of white. You know, the white stuff. And inside, very little, you have what's called the Chadre Hazera. And it's basically just seeds. It's kimat, there's no peri there. Masha'in cane, a lemon, there is peri there. My son remembered this from last year, my five-year-old. Because I was looking at someone's esrog. See, so the person said it's a lemon. So my son said, no, it's not a lemon because there's no fruit in there if you cut it open. I said, how did you know that? Who taught you that? He's like, you did. You showed it to me last year after you said, because I cut open the esrog. So I showed him. I didn't even remember that. But anyway, so that's the Mishabura's three simanim. So the question is, could you rely on the simanim? Now, first of all, the simon of cutting it open is not really going to help you too much. till after Sukkos. Yeah, so you want to know the mafreya if you got to do tshuva, you know. But it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you mitchila. But the other two simonim, the question is, can you rely on the other two simonim? Can you rely on the other two simonim or not? So the Mishabura Lamaisa Paskins, that you don't rely on the other two simonim for an esrog, to see it's an esrog. You rather have to make sure that you do it up in Mesiris. So that's where all these different types of esrogim come in. What's called Mesiris? So, everyone used to take from over there, Italy, whatever. But the other places that had Mesira were if anyone that comes from a place, and they said that this is what they use, midar dar, and the person that's nemanus, that will create a mesira. So therefore, what they did, so they have, you know, Taimani Esregim, and they have Moroccan, and then they have an Eretz Yisrael. All the Eretz Yisrael Esregim are pretty much not clear that there's such a strong mesira on those, because it wasn't always continuous people necessarily that we know for sure, but the regular badats, you know, gross, whatever they sell here. So those are basically Eretz Yisrael. The assumption is that they weren't really, you know, shepherded with, and there's some level of them. Sorry, I would assume, you know, but they're probably relying more on simonim. But the
but every Messiah started with just relying on simonim.
No, not necessarily. In Taman, probably they knew this is an esrog because they have a Masara there from 2,000 years. This is what they use every year.
This orchard?
Yeah, this prairie. I mean, whatever this prairie is. It was nicker to them.
So if I see that same prairie on a tree now, I can start my own Masara. It's the same. At some point, you're relying on some other.
No, because
how do they know what the prairie is? Because of the Simonim. So if I had to buy whichever Esrog I have and I plant it, then I now have a Mesirah, because now from year to year...
I'm not using a Saperman Esrog. I'm using a replanted whatever it is that you have.
And Echidami, but let's say I plant a Yanavar Esrog.
Yes, so now you have Yanavar by you.
So you're assuming it's a Yanavar Esrog, right? But what if you don't know which one I have? And 2,000 years from now, my family, it all started because at some point it was Simonim.
Okay, but the point is, someone that comes and says, this is what you always use, so the Maisa, you could trace that back to a Messiah directly.
So is it better to buy a Yanavar or to buy an Eretz Yisrael Dika, which is...
I don't know Yanavar so much. I don't know that so well.
I'm just giving it as a mushroom.
Right. But, okay, so a Yichus is important because you want to know it's an Esrog, the Maisa. You know, so the Badatz is Esrog, the Maisa, when you're Soymach on the Badatz for Chiv Misa and Nevela and everything, so to be semichan on this, you know.
Now, but if you pick up an Esrog in the store, you and I can both tell whether it's an Esrog or not. What's the big deal?
Well, you don't know what one Simon Morkov could do.
But you know it has bumps. You can look at the shape. You know it has a pitim. It has an okets. Lemons don't have that. There's no other fruit that has that.
Okay, so I'm just saying, enough? Mr. Brewer Maisa says not to rely on that.
Not to rely on
that. Mr. Brewer Paskin says that we don't rely on Simonim. Mr. Brewer says, over here, Ashkarcha Moshe. Mr. Brewer says like this. He says, Omnam besimon reish zayin the chafsam sefer mefakpik meoid beinyan asimonim achrit shalaniskru bashas v'daitu del Maisa in lismach al simonim klal lahakel. Okay, that's my pesach in Mishavura. So now, based on that, okay, so based on this, is like this. So what was the Chazanish Esrog? So the Chazanish, we have a Masoris from the Chazanish, but the real brisker chever didn't like the Chazanish Esrog.
Slightly
close.
Why? Because the Maisa, what was the Chazanish Esrog? The Chazanish Esrog was that the Chazanish went to a place in Eretz Yisrael, deep in Eretz Yisrael, and he found an Esrog, and he said, no one's been living here for the last who knows how many years. No one was marked of this tree. It doesn't make any sense that anyone was marked of this tree. This tree is from a previous tekufa, and it's poshut that there's no harkava on the tree, and he made a bracha on the Esrog. And then, you know, you have different things. You have Lefkowitz. What's Lefkowitz? You have Halperin. You have different people. They replanted the Chazanish's Esrog. They took seeds from the Chazanish's Esrog and they replanted it. Yeah, so what does it mean? So that's what it means. Now, Lefkowitz is like this. Very interesting story with this tree. What's Lefkowitz? It's a type of Esrog. It's from Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz. So Shimon Panovich. So it was a nace, the whole thing. He planted the tree in his chotzer, like in his house, basically. He planted the tree and it gave out a sregim. It's a beautiful sregim. He took the seed of the Chazanish and he planted it in his front lawn and he made a sregim. And the Maisa said that was the Lefkowitz sregim. The year that Ramechal Yehuda died, 4 or 5 years ago, it stopped giving pears. The tree died.
And it still hasn't given pears.
It hasn't given pears since. It gave pears for 50 years.
How many swings did it get? It's one tree, or they kept on replanting?
No. So what we have now is that someone replanted from there. So
this is like this.
There's a guy Halperin apparently that was the Talmud of the Chazanish. So he took a Chazanish Esrog, and he replanted it. This guy Kupchitz is a guy that's a Neman that he replanted Halperin's Esrog in his orchard. Okay, so this guy Kupchitz has over here. He has a big orchard. He's a Neman. Okay, and he has over there Esrog Teman. So as far as I know, there was no conquest of Yemen in Bnei Brak, right? So what does it mean Esrog Teman from Kupchitz? Kupchitz lives in Bnei Brak, right? So it means that he took a Teman Esrog and he replanted it. So you're being simch on him that he's not being marked of it by him.
Mm-hmm. So quite right? The thing. So now for every Shemitah and everything like go apply for his Esrog.
Yeah, so next year, Sregim is supposed to be cheap, free.
I'm not saying, yeah, square.
It's okay, I'll charge for the little love with the
Dasa. Right, well,
but
exactly.
Do it. No, but seriously, though, it shouldn't be.
No, serious,
that's
what I do.
I know, but it,
That's not.
You know what people think that that's not?
What's your question? Huh?
No, people think that it's. That's not because it says Esrege Teiman, so they think it's. They don't want to think.
Oh, no, no, this comes in Israel. Okay, now the Esrege Teiman are big.
Those are the big watermelons.
Yeah, this is a big. This is a weird Esrege in general, if you didn't, in case you're wondering. But that's what they look like. Okay, fine. That's that. That's what the Esrege is. Let's get into the what you're looking for in the Esrege. Okay, so now there's two types of psulim in an Esrege. There's psulim that are pasul only on the first day, and then there's psulim that are pasul the whole yom tov. Psulim that are pasul on the first day is basically lachem. It has to be your Esrege. So that means your dalet minim have to be yours. So one hiddur is that when you buy the Esrege, you should pay for it. And before, you know, don't buy it on credit or whatever. You should pay for it before you take it. Because we paskin midaraiso, we learned this in the Sunday morning thing, that we learned that midaraiso, kesef is koina. Midarabanon is mishapara, so because Shemin Yisrof Chitach HaBaliyah, they didn't want to rely on Kini Kesef, so midarabanon, you have to do mishicha. But midaraiso, you're only koina with kesef. So if you want to own your Esrege midaraisa, you can't do Mashiach or Hagbar or anything like that. You have to actually buy it. Unless he gives you it as a matana. But if he's giving it to you as a mekach, then you got to pay for it. So that's an important thing to know, is that it's kedai to pay for it first.
Yeah,
fine.
People buy on credit cards.
Huh?
Some people buy on credit cards.
Buying credit card is not so bad, because you mean the moicher got his money.
Yeah, I bought a credit card.
As far as that means,
he was paid.
He was paid, and I have my ASIC with the bank. I borrowed money from them.
I don't know if he paid. You know, he could be paid on the next day.
No. Him as a merchant, he gets money paid, within one day, 2 days, whatever it is.
That's 2 days later.
Fine, okay, who cares? But he got it before Yom Tov.
He gets it before Yom Tov.
Oh, you mean if you're doing it every Yom Tov? You mean if you're going to buy every Yom Tov on a credit card? Yeah,
in
a chenam. If you're going
to
buy every Yom Tov on a credit card, you better not maybe taka.
Use debit card.
Debit, yeah.
Yeah,
in a chenam. Now. The place that comes a lot of shailas, okay, is one other thing is also is the other psulim that apply all the time. There's a psul of chaser. If the esrog is missing anything, we paskin this psul all the days, and we'll discuss what chaser is. And then there's a psul of if it's too green, and it's not turning yellow, it's not so pashut either. A lot of people take green esrogim. It's not so simple. You have to be careful with that. Okay, and then the big one is a shinui mare. So chaser and shinui mare are the two big psulim. Chaser means it's missing mashu, and shinui mare means that there's some sort of dot, a black dot or something like that. Okay, well, different shiurim depending on where it is in the esrog. Now, the question is, when you're dining on chaser and you're dining on shinui mare, where do these guys come in? Right? Meaning to say, what does it mean a shinui mare, a black dot? A dot that you could only see with a magnifying glass, okay, but you can't really see it if you're looking at it casually, is that a problem? So kipshutai, it's not a problem. The only time that this thing comes in handy is like this. Is really, you see a dot already. You just don't know the color. Is it brown? Is it black? Whatever. So you want to see what it is. Okay, so, but when it comes to chaser, here's the shaila. When it comes to chaser, when it comes to a black dot, why is it pasul? Because it's not hadar. It says pre, it's hadar, it's not beautiful. But when it comes to the chaser, why is it pasul? It's because it's missing part of the esrog. So let's say you only see that it's missing part of the esrog with a magnifying glass. Who cares? Lamaisa, in hadar, you don't see it, so it's a beautiful esrog. But in chaser, even if you only see it with a magnifying glass, lamaisa, it's chaser. So some hold like that, some don't hold like that. Some say, what do you mean? So according to that, so you can't drink a glass of water, because if you look at a glass of water with a magnifying glass, there's going to be bugs in it. You can't live your life with a magnifying glass. Like in the Torah of Malach HaShars. Right. But there also, they see it without it.
They see the bugs without it? A lot of bugs,
yeah. No, but those that are mafkirs, because if you look carefully,
you see something. You may not see it's a bug.
Right. You can see something there.
Right, and then you need the magnifying glass to see what it is.
But you can clearly see something.
Right. So now the question is, a chaser that you only see with the magnifying glass, is that a problem? It's an interesting shaila. Whatever, it doesn't, it depends. Now
The problem is that a lot of times what looks like a brown spot or a blettel or anything, sometimes it's actually chaser.
Right. So that's the thing. You see something and then you see it's chaser. Okay? So now that's a shayla. So I think we had a shayla of a chaser in one of these.
These are all puzzles,
right? It's not a puzzle, but they had something that was Mechayev Bedika. That's an interesting shayla in general. I'm going to explain. But there's really not good light here.
You had
your shtickle from last year.
I have to get that again. I'll give you a basic light.
But that last year's piece was Geschmack. Oh, okay. So, whenever you see like this, whenever you see in the Esrog that it starts getting brown in a spot, okay, then you know why is it getting brown. Obviously, it's getting brown because part of it is exposed. And therefore, it's like a kind of a simon that maybe there's something going on over there. I don't see what his shayla is on this. Oh, I know what the shayla is. Okay. Now, okay, so let's explain like this. So a chaser is any part of the esrog is missing. Any part of the esrog is missing. Now, what about there's two way very commonly on a lot of esrogim, you have something which is not called chaser, it's called niklaf. We had discussed this last year, but it's always good to go over it again anyway. Is that there's something called niklaf. Niklaf means it's not chaser, it's not actually missing, but it's peeled off a little bit. Okay? So the halacha of niklaf is the following. There's three types of niklaf. Now, niklaf means like this. If you look at an esrog, okay, let's take this one. Okay? If you look at an esrog, there's three parts to the skin, to the esrog. Outside the whole thing, there's like a little shiny, there's like a shiny clear like membrane, like a shiny clear skin. Then there's the yellow skin, like an orange peel, and then there's the white inside. Okay, Mishnah Berurah holds that the niklaf, which is not pasul, is only if it's literally just the top skin. Once you've playing around with the yellow, with the actual skin, it's already a shayla of chaser. And chaser could be pasul all the days.
So first is going to be the membrane.
Yeah. So it's just if you see that the membrane. Now, if it's just that little membrane got cut off, so sometimes you'll notice on the esrog you're looking at it, and all of a sudden there's a little hole. There's a little like hole. It goes, and there's a little hole, but it's still yellow. It's still you see the esrog underneath. So that's niklaf. Nothing wrong with that. The only problem is like this.
Is it hidden? Is it hidden?
Yeah, there's no particular problem with it. The problem is like this. The problem is a niklaf that starts changing color. Okay, so it could change. It depends. It depends like this. If it changes color, it has the din, at the very least, of the color that it changed to. So then it has a din of like a spot, of a dot. So it depends if it changed to black or to brown. Because like we said before, a black spot on the top of the esrog passes the esrog. Okay, so if it changes to black, it's a problem on the top. Now, the only thing is, Mishnah Berurah brings another chumrah, that even if it changes not to black, it changes to any color other than the color of the esrog, it's also a problem if it's on the top. So therefore, the problem with taking a niklaf is because you don't know if it's going to end up changing color.
It's a risk.
Because if it ends up changing color, it's a problem according to Mishnah Berurah if it's on the top. If you have a niklaf on the bottom, it's much less of an issue. Okay? So I didn't explain that. I went out of order a little bit, I realized. Because maybe we should have started off explaining what's the top and what's between the top and the bottom. Okay? The top of the esrog is called the chaitim. It's from when the esrog starts its approach starts its approach, the migdal. Right. So you know, somewhere like here, where it goes up and starts sloping, this whole part is the chaitim. The halacha on the chaitim is that any shinui mara on the chaitim is pasul. It's the main psul of the chaitim. Any shinui mara means any black dot on the chaitim is a psul. So for example, okay, if you look at this esrog here, Not that it's a huge dot, but right here there's a whole bunch of dots, which if you look in his light over here, could be our black dots. There are all these guys.
Oh, right here.
Yeah.
How do you know if that's not just dirt? You take these wax over it or something.
Yeah, you have to be careful with them. But you see all these, a lot of black dots there.
Good.
Now, when there's a whole bunch of black dots like that, right out here, they're very small, okay? But you could see them. When you have a light.
I don't smoke.
Good answer.
Yeah, I see.
What?
I see.
All those spots.
How do you know what it is?
So now, there's two things that could be. If it doesn't come off with something like this, okay, you don't want to use something hard.
You don't need magnifying to watch this.
You see that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So if you see all those black spots,
no.
So now,
you can see it.
Right?
You don't need a magnifying glass for that.
Right. You need a light, though.
The very tiny the specks.
Yeah. But there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Specks right here.
You see, you don't need a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
So now that all those specks is like this. Why does it happen? Why are there specks like that? Because, well, it could be a guru like that. It could be that very often they spray pesticides on the fruit, and the pesticides, it splashes on, and then it gets burnt on there. So it turns into black spots. So there are shitas that hold that's not a problem because it's not a natural shinui mara. There are shitas all there, but you never know. Now, the way the simon is, well, why there are all these black spots together in one spot? Very often it's because of the spray. Otherwise, it doesn't help you because you don't know for sure or whatever. So therefore, a black spot like that, if it's taka black, it will be a problem. If it's brown, you know.
Use it for
whole foods or
something.
organic is striking, right?
Huh?
Organic is striking, it'll be a schmuck. I just don't know if there'll be anything left. Now, the, yeah. Okay, so now it's like this. So, so if you have a nikloff and the nikloff changes color, so that's what on the top of the ester you have to be careful because you want to make sure there's no dots like that on the top of the ester. So that's the main thing you're looking for. And also, you don't want a nikloff on the top of the ester because if you have nikloff on the top of the ester, it means a little bit of the skin is peeling off. It's not so good because you don't know if it's going to end up changing color and anything like that. Those are the two most common things that you're looking for. And then there's fine. Now, legabe, chaser. So it's like this. If you look at this ester, it's very interesting. This is in the pitum. This pitum over here is very interesting. A lot of the string that we get don't have a pitum. But when you're looking at an ester with not a pitum, you want to actually look at it to make sure a few things. Okay, the first thing you want to make sure is that it's not like this one. Now, look at this with your light. There's a hole straight in there. You see?
So then it looks like it fell out.
It's not that issue's not fell out. The issue is that it could be tzchaser in the meat of the eser because you see since the hole is so deep.
Right, it could be ready.
So that means that there's a nekev in the eser, a nekev of a psul.
This one
is sealed. Most of them are sealed. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to show you.
How
something.
Do you know if the pitum fell?
Okay,
off
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you in a minute. Okay. Now, this is no good. I'll tell you why in a minute.
Looks like a
semi. There's a hole in there. What?
Oh, the other one.
I don't know. This one looks like it may have fallen out. Because usually there's no pit when it.
No, but it could. But I'll tell you why it doesn't. It doesn't because it. Because. What? This one?
This has a hole.
This is the hole.
Oh, this one? I don't know. This one's not so geschmack. But. Yeah,
it's not so clear that.
Yeah, this has a hole, you see? So a hole is no good because you don't know how far deep the hole goes. There are people that test it, you know. And in Lakeland, there was a guy who pulled out a hair from his beard. take it all into the esrog,
right?
And he would see how deep it goes.
Yeah.
And if it comes out wet, then he knows that the hole went too far into the esrog. Okay, if it came out dry, then
think of so many better ways to do it.
I'll be shaving.
It doesn't help. I mean, there could be cluster a bit on the side. Yeah.
But anyway, okay. Now the other thing you want to look for is like this. Why the whole part of the pitum is that you want to make sure that the pitum, if you have a pitum, goes shrunk. If you don't have a pitum, you want to make sure that the pitum fell off while it was still on the tree. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what's the simanim to know if it fell off on the tree or it didn't fall off on the tree? So, the main thing that you want to see if when it fell off on the tree is that if it fell off on the tree, it would have already started growing back over, right? It would have started growing back over. So this is, I can't tell, right? So for example, this one with the hole in it. So this one, the hole in it is pretty good because you see. It started growing back in, but the problem is there's a hole. This sefer, I'll show you, and it's unbelievable because that esrog is mamish. He says like this. He's a very big expert here. He says that the area underneath the pitum nowadays, it's not like you have a piece of wood like a stem, and the stem has on top of it the crown, the shashanta, right? The way it grows is it's part of the esrog. It's like meaty.
Like this picture, the pitum itself.
The pitum itself is like the meat of the esrog. So if it gets cut off, after it's off the tree, it's going to be like as if you cut open the esrog and you left it out for a few days. What's going to happen? It's going to turn brown. That doesn't happen on the tree. So I'll show you this picture. So he says this picture is no good because it's a siman that the pitum fell off afterwards. Look at number 30. Look at number 30. You see the little brown ring on the top of the esrog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that means that the pitum fell off and it started being, and it was exposed. And since it was exposed, it started turning brown. That wouldn't happen.
That's
if
like
it,
this one.
Oh, so look at this. This is not carbon copy. You see this?
Yeah.
So this is a simen that this that the
if it fell off when
it wouldn't turn on, it wouldn't turn brown.
It would still be
because this means flesh of the esrog has been exposed. Mm-hmm. On the tree, it doesn't turn brown, it's still growing.
Mm-hmm. We're still getting nutrients with it.
And look at this, in case you want to see it in person, yeah. Not in the picture. See the brown ring? You see the brown ring there on top of the pitum? So that means that it fell off afterwards. So maybe that's why he gave me this esrog. Yeah, tzarich in on the pitum, he says here. So he didn't want to sell it because of this question. He realized that.
So he probably found it that way in the pitum.
Yeah, this, especially because most of these have pitums.
Almost
from this place has pitums.
Is it possible to buy one with
the pitum? So a pitum is a hid or lamaisa.
It is a hid.
Yeah, but
it's a risk. Especially if you have kids. It's happened to me.
It has?
It happened to me also.
Once.
Huh?
Yeah.
So it's like this.
It wasn't the first day of Yom Tov.
I've never had a pitum on that survived.
I remember it broke off some of the way, not the whole way.
Oh, yeah. I went to check.
I may. But it was you at least. How did it happen? Oh, you don't know it. Since then, whenever I look at the strike, my preferred one is
put it up high.
Oh, yeah?
It's just, it's not really.
Yeah. But, so now it's like, well?
Once.
It breaks, it always happens. Piss off.
You have?
It always happens. Piss off.
Piss off, right. So the best is if you have what's called a guma. That it like goes in. If it goes in, that means that the rest of the esrog grew up around it. That means that the pitum fell off and the esrog kept on growing. That means it fell off while it was on the tree. So Zalman holds, as long as it fell off on the tree somewhere, that's okay. Okay? So even if it fell off at the very end of the process, that's fine.
How is it attached? That it's growing.
It's attached. They grow locusts.
Now, this guy has the whole process here. It grows from the pitum. The pitum is the first thing that comes out. From this part. No, the pitum is the end of the tree, of the fruit. It's hanging.
It starts that way and then it grows like that.
Here's the tree.
Pictures of it, of how it grows?
Yeah. Here, I'll show you. He has a picture of how it grows. It's a good save for the saber. Here. And then what happens is usually it's not getting enough juice from the tree to keep the, it's the end of the tree, the pitum, so it dries off and cracks. You see there's a blossom, and then the blossom gives out a fruit, which is right here, is the pitum. That's the grows. And then it comes and grows from the tree. So the pitum is like the last part, and then you see it grows, it has a little ring, it falls off, and then it grows up around it. It's the first thing to come out of the tree, but it's the bottom. Okay? Now, everyone knows that if just the ring of the, if you have a pitum, and just the crown of the pitum falls off, it's not possible. But if the whole pitum falls off, then it's a problem for sure for the first day. And so l'chora nitla pitmasai is because of chaser. So there is a tzad that it should be good the rest of the days. Now what is interesting is does, let's say on this type of esrog that you have a pitum, very often on the pitum part you'll have dots. So does the pitum have a din of the chaitim, or does it not have the din of the chaitim? It's a new piece, the esrog. Like that one? So the there's different shittas on it. I think we hold nowadays that it has the din of the chaitim, and therefore it should try to be clean over there also. Okay. Now, good. One other thing. A bletel is like this. A bletel is when what happens is like this. You have on the tree, the esrog gets a blemish on the tree from, it's called a koitz, from a thorn on the tree. You know, let's say another branch or something like that hits the esrog while it's growing and it makes a hole in the esrog. But since the esrog is still on the tree, where's the safer? Since the esrog is still on the tree,
cover it with paper.
Since the esrog is still on the tree, so then the esrog continues to grow around the hole. So here's a picture. Here. See, there's a thorn there, and it digs into the esrog. So even though it happens on the tree, if it wouldn't be that it grew over the chaser, it would still be possible. Because who cares? The mice, part of the esrog is missing because you have a hole in it from the thorn. Right? Now what happens is that this is what happens. You have like a scar. It's like a scar on the esrog. It's called a bletel. The bletel is like a brownish thing, and it grows over, it scars over these blemishes. Okay? So the bletel is whenever an esrog, I don't know if these guys have this. There was a couple that had very good, I don't know what that thing is.
Good bletels.
And this
is like an orange.
Well,
has an orange color.
This is Lorenzo's.
Here's a good example. Okay, you have this one. It's like this. It's a small bletel, but it's right in the chaitin. So,
what?
Yeah, exactly. So here.
Before?
Huh?
You did this before, right?
Yeah, but every year you get into it. It was about a year ago, right? Okay.
Give or take a day.
Yeah. So.
You can tell me exactly the same day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the same day we had this
year. So here you have a bletel, you see?
Yep.
Bletel.
What is it called?
A bletel. It's when the thing gets a hole while it's growing, but then it grows over, it's like scabs over.
And that makes it no good?
No, so that's fine. Okay, most astragmum have some sort of bletel.
I want to see what that.
You have to get the other app there. That was a schmuck. Wait, you deleted it?
Yeah, a year ago I deleted it.
Oh yeah, it looks like a scab.
Right? So now, that thing, it, obviously, a beautiful, beautiful S-ring is clean, that doesn't even...
Do you see it?
Yeah. Pictures of it.
Do you see it?
So with the light.
With the light.
And it comes up on the screen.
Pictures of an S-ring that was magnified with the light.
Now, the Maisa is like this. An Esrig that is considered a very clean, beautiful Esrig that people try to find mamish the best Esrig, is it doesn't even have a blattel. But it's very rare to find something that shouldn't even have that. Right? Now, the since the word of a blattel is that there was a hole in the Esrig that started scabbing over, you want to make sure that the whole entire area that got a hole in it is scabbed over. Sometimes what you'll have is you'll have a blattel, and next to it, all of a sudden, you don't know what's going on over there.
Brown area.
So what happens is it got a big hole, and only part of it scabbed over. So the part next to the blattel, the blattel is not the problem, right? But the problem next to the blattel never got grown over. That's where it could be worse than the blattel itself. That's important to keep in mind. Okay, so when you're looking, if you look, this esrig, for example, okay, right on top here, there's like three or four blattels, right on top, but they're teeny blattloch, right on top. Like, they look like little...
Is this the same restaurant?
This is a different one, no. It has a whole bunch of teeny white blattloch on it. Okay, that you may not even see. I mean, I see them, but you may need a loop to see them.
And what do they do?
What do they do for you? So since it's on the top, it's better to, you know, some people try to find that at least on the top of the esrog doesn't even have a blattloch on it. It's very hard to find an esrog that's perfect. Nothing. But the top, you know, that's where you could...
I don't see.
Huh? Okay, look at this one. You see that guy right on top of my finger?
Yep. Where that indentation is?
Yeah. And there's a little brown thing there. What?
It's a guy shows up with the loop. You know what I mean? Changes the whole...
What is it? What?
It comes to esrog, it comes with a loop. It's a hook.
Where's that light?
The second you walk in with the loop, and he's like charging you another $50 for your esrog, no matter what.
It's a whole different trick.
Because the pshat is... That is, if a guy with a loop is walking out of an esrog, it must be a good one.
Yeah.
But,
stop by to get it? Oh, he didn't stop anymore. That was something though.
See, you see this thing. You may have to look on the loop, but this thing is okay? Anyway, but that's a blattel. Okay. What else I wrote here?
You were talking before about color.
What?
What's the issue with color?
Okay, no. So the other question is... What?
That's kind of like on the Pashat level.
The bottom line?
Yeah.
Okay, basically two things. On our level, there's two things that make it possible. A black dot on the top of the esrog.
Okay.
A black dot that you could see pretty much just by looking at it, you know?
A small black dot?
A black dot you could see if you would look at it like, you know, like this. You know? Not like this.
Not a black
dot. No. A black dot.
What is a black dot?
A black dot is a black dot. It just grew, the S grew like that. Like this one had to, I mean, they're also pretty small. But this one had a whole bunch of black dots right on top of my finger.
And that made a puzzle?
I don't know if it's possible, but you see there's a whole bunch of black dots there? Right on the top of my finger?
Like the pores?
No, right on the top of my finger. Anyway, so the two things that make it possible is either the black dots or...
I see pores, like, yeah. You know. Okay. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Or...
I really want to see it.
Okay. Right on the top of my finger.
Oh, yeah, I see.
So, yeah. Or chaser, okay? Now, Lumaisa, how do you choose a nice esrog? What are you looking for if it's nice? So, color-wise...
This is where you say you go to Rabbi Danzig.
Yeah.
Would that make it puzzle, that little thing
all
there?
Those black dots?
Yeah.
I don't know. A little bit bigger wood. Not sure. A little bit bigger wood. These are a little small. Now, lemaisa, there's two things that go into the color and the shape. Right? A pitta lemaisa is a hider. Now, this is a big machlokes.
You don't want to take a chance and buy an instrument like that when it has those black dots.
Okay.
So, why buy something like this?
So, lemaisa lechatchila, the shape of an esrog is supposed to be something not like this.
This is mummish like a gourd.
Right.
Rounded edges.
What's wrong with that? What? Just the shape is not nice?
Like that.
What? This?
Special
yeah, it's not the shape of an esrog. So, lemaisa, the shape of an esrog, I guess something like, it's really, it's not supposed to be thinner. I don't know, I mean, not supposed to, don't puzzle anything, but, so, you know, the question that comes up is, in general, once it's kosher and it's clean and it's nice, it doesn't have dots and blatlach, and, you know, it's pretty much a nice, clean esrog, okay? Now you want to get something that you, nice. So the question was like this, there's a mice of Nissen Kaplan, there's a Rebbe in Israel. Nissen Kaplan. So he said there was a balabas, a gvirsha guy that would always come to Eretz for sukkahs, and he would call him up before and say, "I want you to get me an esrog." So you would go ahead, you would get him an esrog, and the guy said, and Nissen Kaplan told him, he said, "Listen, I have two esrogim for you, but this one is nice. They're both kosher lechatchila, no dots, nothing. There's two. I chose two, but I'm telling you, this one is nicer. It's a nicer shape." So he says, "You think it's nicer. I think the other one is nicer. I like it better. It's yellower. It's nicer. It's more balbatish, whatever."
It spoke to him.
So. So the question was, how do you judge such a case? Is there pshat? Is it objective? Is there objective beauty or is it subjective? Meaning, does it go after kashrus, after the whole kashrus and everything like that? Now you want to choose one you like. Does the rav say, "Well, this is a beautiful esrog"? I'm a rav. I know what I'm looking at, and I'm telling you halachically, from a halachic perspective, this is a beautiful esrog. I hear it, but the mice said that one doesn't do it for me. I like this one better. So is hadar? Is there an Indian to get one, Zekeli Van Vero, that you like? Or is there an objective standard? This is a beautiful esrog.
Is that a rhetorical question, or is that like a question?
Well, it's a question. I don't know. It's a question.
I think can beauty is in the eyes of the owner.
I knew you were going to say that. I didn't have a suffix that that's the way you were going to say it.
I think that
restaurants are like...
I said after we're talking about after kosher and puzzle.
Everybody has their taste, you know?
Havamina is that Hadar is not just, okay, beauty. Hadar means halachically there's certain things that define a nice esrog.
That's on stage one. Stage two is once you pass that...
Even after you pass psula. In halacha there's psula, but in halacha there's also things that make it nice. Like, for example, let's say you like this thing. You like this thing. This thing speaks to you. Right? Let's say this thing speaks to you. It's beautiful. I don't care. It looks like, what do you mean? But it is an esrog, and it's beautiful. It's clean.
But if you're a squash farmer, then you're gonna like that.
Right. Listen, you've been, you know, you have.
If this was the only one that the whole town had, you know, that would be the beautiful thing. Right?
It's actually the more it's starting to grow on me.
So,
let's say you like it, right? Let's say you go to Rav, and Rav will tell you. I'm saying, you know, it's nice that you like it and all, but the bottom line is that it's not a beautiful esrog. Sorry, it's just not. A beautiful esrog has a shape to it. It has a shape, what it's supposed to look like. It's supposed to look a certain way. Right? It's supposed to have, the bottom is fatter, it grows up higher, it's a certain yellow, it's a certain color, you know. Right. So Lemaisa, he came out, it was a machlokes. He called around, there's a machlokes in a lot of places. How do you go on that? Are you allowed to take whichever one you like, or there's a certain objective definition to the beauty of the esrog? But one thing's for sure is it's a certain shape that the esrog is supposed to be, like a tchila. Right? It's supposed to get thinner on top, you know, so to some degree, something like this, you know. The thing with this one is that it doesn't get fatter on the bottom, but this is like basically the shape of an esrog. For example, another thing you're looking for, right? See the difference between these two shapes? They both have a migdal, but this one gets thinner on the bottom. right? So that's not as good as if it's just going straight. Okay, now let's say you like this better. Am I going to tell you, well, the shape of this is better? I mean, right? I don't know. Second of all, another thing you want to find is that you want that the top is symmetrical with the bottom. Again, it's not a psul, but it's a beauty in the esrei, halachically. Then you may not like that. You know what? This thing matches my nose better. Right? My nose is crooked. I want a crooked esrei. Or you say, no, I like it. I know you like it, but halachically, it's supposed to be straight. Right? This is a nicer esrei, shape-wise. It's straight. You see, it lines up. This doesn't line up. It's off. So that's a shot. So I think that the things that have to do with the objective shape, what esrei is supposed to look like, that has there's an objective truth over there, what it's supposed to look like. Beyond that, you know, you like this type of bump, I like that type of bump, that, you know, color is this, that you could choose.
Some like it with them, some like it without.
Right.
Once it's kosher without a pittum, then that's up to their subjectivity.
Right.
Some like it, some don't.
Correct.
What's with the gardel business? What's the deal with the gardel?
What's with the gardel business? So the...
Hasidim, I think, isn't it? Hasidim.
Yeah, knew you like the gardel?
Yeah, but when you farm,
$1,500 for an esrei?
There's no such thing as $1,500.
I've never heard of an esrei worth more than $200.
No.
Oh, no, no, baby.
$500,
$600. Don't tell me no.
I went on a seen, expensive festival, it was $220. Okay. That's looking for 1,000 okay. Soygum.
No, because they're not selling those to you and me.
Check out that Gardel. Is that a Gardel Estrog or what?
Yeah, like this, yeah.
I've seen them. And I'm telling you that $1,000
is... I don't know. I've never heard of $1,500. I've heard of a few hundred. 300 maybe. I've never heard of more.
$600.
Oh yeah?
$600, sorry.
When was it? This year?
Yeah. This is my dining room.
Oh yeah?
Who is it?
Oh, that's a nice gartel.
Why are we looking at his gartel?
The esrei. You don't have to see what it is.
Mamash looks like they put like a band around the esrei while it grows.
Right.
We went through two boxes, and there were 6 gartel esrogs in 2 boxes.
It's be a genetic thing, like bad orchard or something.
The big shiloh, by the way, the big shiloh with the gartel esrogin is that since it goes up twice, maybe it has 2 chaitims. And therefore, they both have the chumra of the chaitim. So that would be a big chumra.
Yeah, but those people that don't get gartels, it's because they hold it's not a hinder.
Right. But they hold it is. You see, that's why all this, you know. Yeah, I don't know if it's a problem, except for that, you know.
It's hard to find, it seems like, you can't see clear, but it seems like it's an accessory. You can't find a lot of it.
Yeah. Fine.
It's a round gartel.
Oh, you see, this is a gartel type. Oh, yeah.
The beginnings of a gartel, right.
No, anything more than that, it looks already more deformed.
No, but some people like it that way. Some people like it where it looks like an hourglass.
It's not supposed to look deformed. That's already.
I agree with you. To me, this looks like an S. This is the shape. I mean, so this is a lot closer.
Yeah.
But there are people that like it.
Have more
squeeze the
patients.
Right. So this is a nice session. It has a little gartel there, but not terrible. And
it's not like too much.
Anyway, so Lemay said some old minhag in Klai saw that because it says in the Torah, explicitly, pre Eitz Hadar, they're supposed to get a beautiful esrog. It's always the minhag that people run after those, you know, the esrog and the tzaka big schos. You can iron in that. What?
You're saying that it's a bit more subjective?